Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we sing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549. Worship is hymn number 648. Happy is he whose guilt is removed, whose sin is forgiven. Happy the man whom the Lord reckons no evil, whose spirit is free from guile. Then I told you my sin, I hid not my guilt. I said, I confess, O Most High, my transgressions, O Lord. As for you, you removed the guilt of my sin. Therefore, every saint prays unto you. When an army approaches or flood waters rise, he is not overtaken. You are my refuge. You protect me from danger. You surround me with shouts of triumph. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is Joy to the World, and it is hymn number 229. Joy to the World, hymn number 229. And just a reminder, if you can be with us on Christmas Day, I will be here, and you're welcome to come and join us. But if you can't be today, we are going to do a little bit of Christmas so you can, if you will, say that you went to a Christmas service during the holiday. Joy to the World, hymn number 229. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you give us this time to come here in this chapel to worship you. And Lord, we do not take this opportunity for granted. And God, we just praise you that we can do this together as one body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the service, men and women, that have made the sacrifices in peace and war to give us this opportunity to worship freely. And Lord, we praise you for that. And God, we lift up those servicemen and women right now as perhaps they are on deployments around the world. Lord, we ask that you would be with them during this holiday season, that you would be with the chaplains, that the chaplains there would provide the best spiritual and religious coverage that they can provide just to fill their hearts with joy and with peace. And Lord, we lift up the family members as well. Because, God, when you are in deployments and Christmas is a special time, you always want to be with family, Lord. And we just lift those families up to you right now. And in the same way, God, we ask that you would put pastors and chaplains and fellow soldiers and servicemen and women in their lives to lift them up during this holiday season to give them that joy and to give them that peace. God, we think about the needs and requests that we have in our own lives, and Lord, we lift them up to you right now. God, we think of the things that we are doing today, and we think of the things that we'll be doing tomorrow and this week and this month. And Lord, as we look forward to the new year, God, we also think about the possibilities and the hopes and the dreams that we have in our own individual lives. And God, we lift those requests up to you right now. God, I would ask that you would just continue to bless us, and we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is going to be hymn number 230, Silent Night, Holy Night. Hymn number 230, Silent Night, Holy Night. Scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for this wonderful time that we can have together. And God, it is good that as we are worshiping here in the chapel, Lord, we hear the silence that you've given each and every one of us in our lives. And God, in that silence, Lord, we want to hear those things that you want us to do through the presence of your Spirit in our lives. And God, I would ask that you would help me in that silence to hear you as your Spirit of truth, of love, and of grace is with each and every one of us. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, you know, Christmas is here upon us. In fact, just a few days ago, we were actually talking about Christmas, Lynn and I was, and there was that realization that Christmas is here and all of those last-minute things that needed to get done for Christmas. In fact, Lynn was busy doing different things yesterday, finishing up her shopping, wrapping gifts, and I was kind of like doing things around the house, getting caught up on some of the work that I'm involved in, things that I do online. And it was interesting that she was enjoying doing all of those tasks, going out, getting the gifts, bringing them home, getting the gift wrapping paper together, wrapping the gifts, putting them under the tree, making sure, and she actually was checking her list, if you will, making sure everybody's gift was appropriate and it was in the right place and all wrapped up and all those kind of good things that go along with Christmas. But when we think about Christmas for our own personal lives, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? The last time that we were together, we actually talked about the whole idea that if we believe in the Christmas story, if we believe the truth that it represents, that we believe in a miracle. So think about that. You believe in a miracle. I believe in a miracle. If we believe in the Christmas story and all the different things that we celebrate in terms of Christ's birth, we believe in a miracle. It's something that many times we cannot rationally understand. We cannot make some type of mental assent. Science can't give us an answer about this particular miracle of Christ's birth. But yet we believe in the story. At least we should. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it is a focal point in terms of what you and I believe in. Because if we don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, then all the other things that take place after Christ's birth is irrelevant. It has no meaning. But you and I, if we believe in a miracle, then we should be searching for miracles in our own individual lives. Miracles that only you and God understand. Miracles that only I and God understand. Miracles that I see in my own personal life. Miracles that you see in your own life that we cannot explain with some kind of rational process or mental assent or scientifically find an explanation. So the miracles continue on with our lives as we walk with God, as we walk with the presence of God in our lives. And so when we think about Christmas and we think about the Christmas day and all the different traditions that are out there, you might have family traditions, we have family traditions. In fact, some of our children are starting their own family traditions with their children as we have our own family traditions. But all of us is based on the understanding that we accept in faith, and that is Christ's birth. But yet we see this story here of the scriptures that we have just read, where the angels came and the one angel was just saying, hey, you know what? This is good news for you. You shepherds that are out there in the fields keeping watch by your flocks at night, there is something very special going on right nearby. And it is a miracle that is taking place. And we want to assure you that that miracle is real. In fact, we are actually going to tell you where that miracle is so you can go see it for yourself. Don't take the messenger's word for it. Go and see for yourself. I am not making up this message. I want you to go and see, and this is where you will find the Messiah. This is where you will find the Savior. This is the situation that your Messiah is in, your Savior is in. This is where the Christ is. This is how you will find the Christ. So once again, we have a miracle taking place from a messenger telling us about a miracle that has happened. And if we believe in the scripture that we have just read about how the message was provided to the Savior, about the Savior, to the shepherds, then you and I can see for ourselves that here is another miracle taking place. And if we believe in that message, if we believe in what the messenger said, if we believe in what the angel said, glory to God in the highest. If we believe in that miracle, there's something very special that takes place in that process. The messenger reminds us, and the scripture reminds us this morning, that you and I have found favor with God if we believe in that miracle. Not only have you and I found favor with God, but we have fellowship with God because of that favor. In the same way that God addresses the shepherds back then, in Christ's birth, the same way God addresses you and I. And perhaps it's not in some type of messenger that appears and the heavens rejoice and sing with angels, but many times it is in that silence that we have that God gives us that very special message about perhaps something that we should do, something that we should take care of in our lives, something where we should go perhaps, something that we should say. Different things that in a very special way the still small voice of God speaks to us, many times very gently. Every once in a while it is a loud voice. God speaks to you in that moment in time when he needs to get your attention. But yet the same process is there. It's listening to what God has for you in your life and then responding to that. Responding to the message of God for you and for me. And then we see within that whole process the glory of God, the magnificence of God, demonstrated in different ways through the light that was illuminated to the shepherds. Understanding that within that light we see that very special blessing, the favor of God. And many times when we receive a very similar message, like the shepherds, we are afraid, perhaps. Perhaps we are afraid of the messenger. Perhaps we are afraid of what the messenger might ask us to do, something outside of our comfort zone. Perhaps something that we never thought about or we've never done before, and therefore we become afraid. But the scriptures remind us that in the whole process of listening to God and stepping outside of our comfort zone, experiencing the fear in a positive way of what God wants us to do, that within that fear we see the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God taking place in our lives. And that in itself is another miracle that is taking place. The wisdom that passes all understanding and reason of the world in which we live in. The wisdom of God that is perfect, that is beyond our own rational explanation, that is beyond our own scientific understanding. The wisdom of God that reminds us that in the time that we met God and we understood what God was all about, the time that we understood what Christ was all about, the miracle that took place when God asked you to, hey, I want you to be one with me. I want you to be one of my sons and one of my daughters. I don't know about you, but when I came to know Christ as my own personal Savior, there was a fear there. I was afraid because I wasn't sure exactly what I was supposed to do. But yet I knew that the Spirit of God was there and God was saying, I want you to make a decision to be a follower of me. I want you to make a decision to be a disciple. I want you to make that decision that for the rest of your life that you will be a student and that you'll be mentored. You'll have the scriptures to mentor you. You'll have that time of prayer to mentor you. You'll have that time of worship to mentor you. And that you will always be learning and understanding more about me and my relationship with you and my relationship with others. I didn't think of it in those terms, but that's what was taking place. And within that fear of coming to know Christ, there was a beginning of wisdom and understanding, the beginning of a journey in which I am still on and which you are still on as well. And that journey never ends. And it comes by just us taking one step at a time in that journey. One step in that road of wisdom that God has provided for us. And it does begin with that fear. The fear of God taking us by the hand and leading us down that path. In the same way as the shepherds responded, they were afraid about what was going on. And I would be afraid too. I'd be like, what's going on here? I want to go hide. I've never experienced this before. There's an unknown here. And I don't think any of us like unknowns. We want to be able to control the reality of our lives. But God says, hey, you know what? There's some things that are going to be taking place in your life if you're my follower that's not going to match reality as you understand it or the reality as others understand it. And when we see the message that is being given to the shepherds, it is the understanding of that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through this child's birth, it will take place. And you and I have that continuing responsibility to share that gospel, to share that good news that began with the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior. And that responsibility, we see that, you know what, God, I just can't do it on my own. I am afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. My life, God, has not been perfect. I have messed it up. God, how can you use me to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when I have been a failure, when I have made mistakes? I don't know the character of the shepherds that were in the field, but I'm guessing that they probably were not perfect people like you and I. They probably made mistakes. More so like you and I. They probably had their failures. And what's interesting, the shepherds, if you will, in terms of the pecking order of society, they were not on a very high standing within their own society, but yet God provided them that message. And where is Christ born? He's born in a stable. He's lying in a feeding trough. That in itself should tell you what's important in God's eyes. It's not about status. It's not about popularity. It's not about ability. It's just being there and allowing God to use you and to use me in the various circumstances that God has placed us and that we find ourselves in. And in the same way, we understand that we have to respond to God in our lives, just as the shepherds had to respond to the message that was given to them. We use a new term around the last couple of years, and it's called be resilient. It's called resiliency in our own lives. The old word used to be coping. How do we deal with certain situations? How do we bounce back? How do we respond? And in the same way, as we take the message of Christ's birth, how do we respond to that? How do we become resilient? What is our Christmas resilience? How do we take the circumstances in our lives and take Christ's birth and somehow use it as a coping mechanism to deal with the next step in our lives? To deal with the circumstances that we have, the challenges that we are facing, the things that we are trying to overcome. But God takes the small things, the little things, and gives us a very important message in the fact that in all things, no matter how great or how small, God is in everything. The presence of God is there. The focus within our own lives as we look at the different things that we're involved in, the things that we're trying to learn. And learning is a lifelong process. Learning in terms of our understanding of our relationship with God and how you and I respond to that. There's a resilience there. There's a coping that takes place. Because then we see within our own lives the things that we share, the things that we respond to in worship, the things that we respond to in the scriptures, the things that we respond to together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ, the things in which we do in a community setting in which when we take communion. We are saying that God, within your life and within my life, I want to respond in such a way that God, each day is a new one for me. Just like the shepherds responded to the message and they went and saw the Messiah, the Savior. They went and saw the favor of God. In the same way, God reminds us to look at His favor within our own individual lives. God has never forsaken you. He has never left you. And I would tell you from my own personal life that that in itself is a miracle. Because God should have left me a long time ago. God should have forsaken me a long time ago. But God has not. Even in all of my failures, even in all of my mistakes, even on the ongoing things with in my own personal life. You know what? God is still there with me. And in the same way, God is with you. In the same way that I have the favor of God, not because of anything that I have done, but because of God's love for me through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the same way, God's favor is with you. And we respond by making that personal application to live the way that God wants us to live. The peace that God gives us that truly is beyond our own human understanding. And you know that that is my benediction every time we meet because it summarizes everything that should be going on in our own individual lives. And the end result should be that peace. Because it is truly in that peace that we find the favor of God. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our challenges, regardless of our failures, the favor of God is with you and with me. And each moment of every day, we need to take the opportunity to praise God and to thank God, to reflect on the fact that He has favored you and I but he has brought the presence of God through his Spirit in our lives, through what we believe in that miracle of Christ's birth. It is something that you and I need to consider. And when we think about the Christmas holidays and the Christmas season and what's going to take place 2 days from now in terms of celebrating the actual day of Christmas as a holiday, every day should be Christmas for us. Every day of the year should be Christmas for us. And we know that it is Christmas for us with this one simple, very simple process. And asking myself and yourself this question: is the joy of being a follower of Jesus Christ with you today? Is the joy of being a follower of Jesus Christ with me today? And if we do that, that we can truly see how we are living, because joy is not based on our circumstances. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Sounds familiar? The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we celebrate that great joy because of Christ's birth. And God wants us to be reminded of that every day, to have that joy. Because regardless of all the terrible things that might be going on in your life and all the things that you have to deal with and you're trying to figure out and you're trying to overcome, the joy is there. We just need to remind ourselves of that joy. The joy of being one with God. The joy of coming to know Christ as our own personal Savior. The joy of the Lord is our strength to overcome those circumstances and those challenges when we're trying to figure out and find the will of God for our lives. Because the message is there for us all year round. So it is my hope and prayer that as we leave here today, that we leave here rejoicing in the joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, and that you and I have found favor with God, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God's love has done for us and the grace that he has provided. Amen. Please take a few moments and prepare your hearts for communion as we do so together, just to reflect on our own individual commitment to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we publicly make that pronouncement. And regardless of what faith, belief system you have, if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity just to be together, just to worship you, just to identify the things that we all need to work on in our own individual lives. Lord, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for reminding us that in all things we find your favor as we desire to follow you in our lives. Thank you, God, for loving us just the way we are and allowing that grace to be used for your good. In Christ's name, amen. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 231, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Message, the joy that you've given us, the good news that you've provided, the wisdom that is there for us. Give us that understanding and that faith that we need to have to trust in you in all things. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.